He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome to another night of Smooth Drama with your co-host,
Jay Tucker,
and Butter Pecan.
No.
Cold night.
All right, tonight we got a special show for you. We have the author of The Matrix and Terminator.
Yeah, I was actually reading about her. She's going to come out with an M4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
The name? Sophia Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't say the name.
Sorry. Sophia Stewart. And if you guys want to read a little bit about her, you can go to smoothdrama.com. Click on the featured guest page, and there's her photo there. Please, please, please join our network at smoothdrama.com, or you can join directly from the website,
www.smoothdrama.com.
Just scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and it says join our network, and you can keep up with our archive shows, what's coming up, other fans, blogs, discussions, so on and so forth, and get to see all the lovely photos of Dick at Comic-Con. Yeah.
Representing.
We're going to try and post some more pictures on there, so, you know,
y'all can see
what we're up to.
You can see how pretty I am.
Yes. Pretty.
Anyway.
He's going to think, I feel pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, so pretty.
Probably not.
Yeah.
If you want to break us off a call, you can hit us up at 646-929-2037.
Definitely hit us up. And definitely if you want to ask Sophia some questions about what she's been going through, where her inspiration comes from, writing her books, whatever. You know, call that number. We'll put you on the air live.
646-929-2037.
Call in so you can speak with her directly.
All right. And as always, we welcome your topic, points of discussion.
Yes.
So if you want to break us off the email, you can hit us up at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
You can also stay up to date with us and receive text messages on your cell phone by texting the word smooth drama, one word, to
41411.
We'll let you know when we're out and about and, you know, doing our thing out and wherever we are.
And y'all can catch Butter out there cracking their toes or something like that.
Cracking my toes and eating at Jack in the Crack.
It's all about Jack in the Crack.
I got a hamburger deluxe right here. I'm going to eat it while I'm at home. Star Bean. Is this a hamburger deluxe?
This is no.
What is it? Yeah, you got a hamburger deluxe, right?
Crack up off. Speaking of eating, man, just this past weekend.
Oh.
Up in La Jolla.
Uh-oh.
They had the Florida eating contest.
What?
The first ever.
What is that?
Florida.
What's Florida?
Florida, some, what I guess they call it a Florida. Some of us call them roll tacos. But.
Oh, flauta.
Whatever.
Flauta, how do you spell it?
F-L-A-U-T-A.
That's flauta.
Yeah, anyway, they had the first ever world flauta eating contest right here in La Jolla.
Yeah.
The winner, Ben Munson.
Munson.
Who was able to whoop down 65 flautas in just 8 minutes.
65?
Yeah. I guess he wasn't the favorite. He took out Joey Chestnut, who is the world's top ranked competitive eater. Yeah, I didn't even know that, you know, you can have real eating contests, but I guess that's, I mean.
What do you mean you couldn't have, people have those hot dog eating contests?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit beyond me.
Why anybody want to scarf down that much food in a short amount of time?
Well, actually, though, you know, if you're like somebody who's like short on food and whatnot, this would be the
short on food?
Yeah, if, like you're poor. I would.
But don't you have to pay to enter those contests?
That I do not know.
I think you do. You have to pay a fee to enter. But what did you win?
He won Mr. Munson, who down 65, won $2,000.
Yeah, you have to pay. Where do you think that money comes from? I think you have to pay a fee.
Sponsors?
Yeah, but when you have to pay a fee to get in. I wouldn't think it would be that much, though. But still, he won $2,000. Is that all? What else he won?
$2,000 in the championship. You are the flouted champion.
Well, this is the first year, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
So he's number one. He's in the book.
Is this going to be an annual thing?
I don't know, but if it is, I might try and get me some flowers next year.
What was the flowers filled with, beef or chicken? Well, because if it has beef, you can't enter.
I'm just saying. And if it's chicken.
Chicken, now you're on it,
yeah,
right?
I'll go down there. Yeah, I'll just have lunch. You know?
Is that all it's there? No rice and beans?
Yeah, no, it's just how many can you knock out? I knock out like four or five and go home.
Four or five?
What?
I thought you were competitive. Weren't you just telling your son or your nephew?
Yeah, but I'm not eating 65. I mean...
Oh, no, it's that. I mean, when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet...
That's not a competition.
But this is all you can eat.
Right. Okay, but what I'm talking about is this. We're talking about this, the eating competition. Now, I guess it kind of invalidates what I say. Because, you know, I say the competitive and be in it to win it. But when it comes to eating, I don't see competition in eating. I just see eating. Like,
but it's still a competition.
All right. But I'm just going to eat and cut.
Literally?
Maybe.
Literally?
Well, now... Yeah, we're going to get off of that. I saw something staying out here on the West Coast. It was kind of funny.
Uh-oh.
In the last week's port of L.A. Long Beach, there was 316,000 glass bongs that were disguised as Christmas ornaments. 316,000 glass bongs. They were disguised as Christmas ornaments. The shipment's value was estimated at more than $2.6 million.
Who found that?
Customs. You know, and
I'm trying to picture a Christmas ornament.
Well, they said the fake ornaments were hidden inside 860 boxes that arrived from China in a shipping container.
Mm-hmm.
And agents said that the items were decorated like Christmas ornaments. And
I didn't know. I didn't realize it was illegal to ship those.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was illegal. I didn't know it was illegal to have a bone.
I didn't. Well, because if it is, then all those little shops. Smoke shop.
Right. But I'm just saying that, is it illegal to have a bone?
I didn't think anybody want to call in on that one. I didn't think it was illegal.
It shouldn't be illegal.
It's not.
Actually. But, hey, they broke the shipment down and they have it under investigation, but there have been no arrests.
But there were no drugs in it. They were just bones.
Right. They were bones. So,
that doesn't make any sense. It's not illegal. I want to know.
Sure.
So the person that actually shipped it can does he? I'm wondering if he has a leg to stand on and say, you guys, it's not illegal to ship these.
But that's the point. We're talking about something that, I mean, here in California especially, it's basically legal to smoke weed. Basically. I mean,
it's
for medicinal
right. It has to be an
right. But, you know, the actual
we're
going to
repeat that. He didn't say it was legal. It's legal only if it's for medicinal purposes. We don't want this to be misconstrued as Dick saying that it's legal to smoke weed in California.
It pretty much is.
But, no, you have to.
If you got a card.
Okay, if you have a card. But
right.
If you don't have a card, go out and get a card.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you can basically get one.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know my feelings on it. I'm of the belief that, you know, all these drugs for anxiety and backache.
They probably do worse than
right.
Good.
I mean, everything.
No.
Yeah, the side effects are worse.
Yeah.
When if you just smoke some weed, you'll laugh.
You're good.
Eat a sandwich and go to sleep.
Eat a sandwich.
I mean, that's
eat
pretty
a sandwich.
Good, right?
Eat a sandwich.
Yeah, that's pretty much the thing. Now, as always, I got to preface it by saying that I don't indulge, and I don't judge whether you indulge or not, but I just think it's my favorite word, disingenuous.
Disingenuous.
That people would put all these drugs out here, but then, you know, the marijuana, the natural drug that doesn't have all these crazy side effects that they put out for these other drugs, that's the one that's illegal. But the ones that are legal are worse for you.
Yeah, I know. Because the drug companies are making money off of it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an issue also when we talk about, like I said, the bones. I mean, because a shipment of bones should be legal. I mean, it's basically glass because a bone can be anything with an opening. Realistically.
Why are you... You keep getting out of the shot.
So, I mean, realistically, a bone is just anything with an opening.
Yeah.
I mean, that could
a
be...
A vase.
Yeah, a vase, your shot glass, I mean, whatever.
A sports bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's got an opening, it could be a bone. You just throw the weed
and
in
and
light. And
then it's not illegal to have them.
Right, I mean... If
so
it's
why
illegal,
did they... There must be something more to the story.
No, that was it.
That was that?
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if it's illegal to have a bomb, it's probably illegal to have a lighter.
Yeah, if you, yeah.
Because you got a lighter for what?
Light candles.
Yeah.
That's what you tell everybody.
Yeah, I light candles all day, every day.
All day, every day.
That's my job.
Every day. Well, on that note, are you ready to call Sophia?
I believe you're ready.
Okay, people, we are going to call Sophia Stewart, and anybody that wants to call in too.
Smooth Drama at 646-929-2037.
That's 646-929-2037. So, okay, we're going to hit Sophia up and get ready because I know we've been looking forward to this all freaking day.
All
freaking day.
And all freaking night.
That too.
Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah, I don't
know. All freaking day, man. All freaking night.
Hello?
Sophia?
Yes.
Hello. You're on the air with Butter Pecan.
Dick Hugger, welcome to Smooth Drama.
Yes, hi, how you guys doing?
We're good.
All right, how you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great.
We have been looking forward to this all day.
Well,
did you get the information I sent over?
I did. We did. Well, we did.
Yes, we got your information, but I think the people need a proper introduction because, you know, if anybody looks up your name and then they read your story and whatnot, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
There's a lot out there.
Talking about you. I mean, there are some people who hate your guts, and I'm sure you never met nary one of them. And then there are some people who love you to death and got your back. It doesn't seem like there's anybody in between. It's either they hate Sophia Stewart or they love Sophia Stewart. So we want you to tell us, who is Sophia?
Well, you know, like how they say, love me or hate me, I'm not going anywhere because I'm the truth.
All right.
It is what it is. You know, like they said, with the truth, you can't bury it, you can't bend it, you can't get rid of it, and you certainly can't deny it. So they just going to have to deal with it.
So tell us, who is Sophia Stewart?
Sophia Stewart is the writer of The Matrix and The Terminator. She went to USC Film School, the same film school as George Lucas and Spielberg, where you're supposed to be a multimillionaire or a billionaire. I paid my dues. I worked for Channel 13. I worked for Columbia Pictures. And I got a degree in journalism and a double minor in law and psychology. So I paid my dues. I wrote two books. I am the real thing. James Cameron, Andy and Larry Wachowski's or Billion Dollar Myth. They are the myth. And if those who want to listen to lies and believe in lies, then let them take the blue pill and go back to sleep and enjoy themselves living in illusions and eating fake steaks. And those who want to know the truth, let them take the real pill, and Sophia Stewart will show them how deep the rabbit hole really goes.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. So why do you believe you're the author of The Matrix and Terminator?
That 1 minute and 45 seconds proves it came right out of my movie treatment. It's undeniable, and it's right up in their face. And I'm going to be selling it because it's memorabilia. Because people want a piece of history, well, that's going to be a piece of history. Just like they thought Tiger Woods, when he came and he played the golf, no black person could play golf. Well, what did Tiger Woods do? He showed them differently.
All right, so
said black people couldn't play tennis. Well, Venus and Serena. And they said there are no great black writers in mind. Well, Sophia Stewart is the greatest writer of all time, just like her friend Muhammad Ali.
Okay. All right. So what 1 minute and 45 are we talking about?
The 1 minute and 45 seconds that was taken out of my movie treatment that was produced by Pacific Western. I know I sent that over to you guys.
It is looping through on the Smooth Drama TV. After the interview, you can watch that, or you can also look it up on YouTube. And that's the 1 minute 45 that Sophia is speaking about. So it is loaded onto our TV station.
All right. Now,
and it was the 1 minute and 45 seconds that was hidden from Judge Morrow in the California court case. They hid the 1981 movie treatment and the copyrights and the fact that the Pacific Western, a constructive trust, the constructive trust means part law and part fraud, is where they hid my movie treatment and my work and from the judge. They offered me $7 million not to disclose that information to the judge. They didn't want the name of the lawyers who incorporated the Pacific Western. And all the people involved in this, Hemsdale Films, James Cameron, Gail Ann Hurd, all of that is what you call a RICO enterprise. Because anytime you make a derivative of a copyright, then you're breaking the anti-counterfeiting laws and statutes under the RICO laws.
Okay, so tell us, where what is the origin of The Matrix and Terminator, you know, for the people out there who don't know?
Yeah, The Matrix and The Terminator are one. Sarah Connor is Neo's mother. Sarah Connor has the baby as part of the prophecy that's going to destroy the machines in the future. And the baby's name is J.C., John Connor, Jesus Christ, is equal to Neo, one and same. I wrote the second coming of Christ, not the first coming, but the second coming spoken of in Revelations, the evolutions of consciousness, man versus the machines. Because when Christ comes back, he'll come back through the womb, receive a soul, and then he'll be the one that walk upon the earth to show you how to evolve consciously into your 4D body, which is ascension that you read about in the Bible, but was never explained to you, that ascension means ascending into your light body. Neo is flying, but he's not Superman.
Okay.
And when you look at the six movies together, it all makes sense. Sarah Connor having the baby, the Terminator coming back to protect the baby and Sarah and the mother, and then the second Terminator, he's a man-child looking like a girl because I knew in the future that he would be hidden out in the city and he had to look, you know, like Adam as a girl on paper. And I knew that boys and girls would have long hair, wear basically the same types of clothes. On to the third Terminator, he's a man-child. He hasn't awakened consciously yet. The Terminator has to come back and protect him. On into the Matrix, where he's hidden in the city, which is the future. When he reaches 30 years of age, the rebellion or the revolution starts. The rebel comes, they take him, awaken him to his purpose. Morpheus teach him how to protect himself. They take him to the Oracle because she is heralding. She's the prophet that heralds that is coming because he comes from the female or the feminine energy. So instead of a male prophet a second time, I thought it should be a female.
Okay.
Nice.
And we'll be back. I'll be back. That comes directly out of my book, direct quote, because the Terminator comes back as three different cyborgs. Each time he says, I'll be back.
Hmm. So, and this comes from your book that you wrote in 1981, The Third Eye?
That's correct. 81, 83, and 84. I created a body of work, a form of script, the movie treatment, a manuscript, which is a book, graphics, characters, and special effects, which is the 84 copyright.
Okay. So
you guys didn't know that because it's all this mess on the internet is confusing.
Oh,
I said that media should come and ask me my own story.
Well, that's why.
Well, I can explain
you.
It.
That's
so
why you're here.
Tell your story.
Exactly.
Now I wanted to ask you. Because I found out reading about this on, you know, a lot of people throw out stuff, send out emails, whatnot, and that's how I found out about this very subject 4 or 5 years ago. Now, there are some people who say that you're a fraud, your case was thrown out, you haven't won. Tell us why we have think about this case.
Let me tell you. All of those lies about I didn't show up, just blatant lies. What really took place was these people prevented me from going to trial, prevented me from doing any depositions, barred and gagged me from attending. What they did, the reason why they did this is because my lawyers were in cahoots with these Warner Brothers lawyers. They all contrived fixed the whole case. And if I had a case, and what they did was they entered fraudulent admissions into the court, saying I admitted something that I never did admit to because I never saw the admissions or the interlocutories. I didn't even know anything about them. My former lawyer, Jonathan LaBelle, prepared the fraudulent documents. Warner Brothers lawyers, Wyman and them, served them on him. He prepared the fraudulent documents, gave them to Michael Stoller, and of course Michael Stoller gave them back to Wyman and them, and Wyman and Bruce Isaac and David Boren entered them into the court system and signed off on them. If I had a came in to do a deposition or to speak under oath or do an affidavit, it would have nullified those admissions. And that is what the judge ruled on. They never, my former lawyers never did any discovery. I already had the evidence and the copyrights to prove that I wrote The Matrix and The Terminator and the investigative findings from the FBI. So why would I not show up for my own court hearing? That is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I paid $50,000 to these attorneys. I did over 4,000 interviews where people taped me. So why would I be afraid of going to a deposition or to a court hearing? And I'm very articulate. And I got a double minor in law. So why, you know, in law and psychology, so why would I be afraid to come and speak? And I'm not afraid. I'm a New Yorker.
So how did they keep you from getting there?
Like I told you, they canceled all of my depositions, so that prevented me.
Okay.
The judge said I had no evidence in the court period. So since I had no evidence in there, and they did not let me attend any depositions, she said that I would be barred from speaking. She is the one that barred and gagged me from speaking. Then she turned around and ruled on those fraudulent admissions. And the admissions is admitting that I don't have any work that's similar to their work. I never gave them my work. Now, why would I say that? If I got letters, registered return receipts, letters of access from them, and registered return receipts, and ads. So why would I lie? And why would I not, you know, why would I lie against what I already have?
Makes no sense to me now.
Yeah, that would be dumb. That would be stupid. I mean, come on.
Now, I got to ask.
And then they knew that people would fall for that. What better way to convince somebody if you told somebody you got fired from your job because you were late or you didn't show up?
Right. Now, I got to ask.
Same old method.
How did the
discredit somebody?
Brothers, can I ask this? How did the Wachowski brothers get your manuscript?
Because I was shopping it, and the Wachowski brothers was looking for a science fiction manuscript to do into a comic book, and they did my work into a comic book. I sent it to them while they were in Chicago, and what you guys don't know is that they created the comic book. And the comic book was supposed to be released with the movie Matrix. And when they found out about me, they canceled the releasing of the comic book.
Yes.
They did make a comic book out of my work.
Hmm.
I shopped my work to Fox May the 1st while I was at USC Film School. And they sent me letters and wanted to buy it.
Hmm.
And all of a sudden, their own executives stole it from them and created those dummy companies, Hemdale Films and Pacific Western. So Fox shareholders got cheated out of billions of dollars because Terminator is the only franchise that is not owned by studios because its own executives stole from the shareholders, which is like Enron. And when those shareholders find this information out, somebody's heads are going to roll because it's called industrial espionage. It's like stealing trade secrets from a company that you work for. Or some valuable stuff comes in, you steal it and create your own company and make billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Shareholders are the private sector.
I said it sounds like insider trading to me.
Exactly.
Now, I got to ask you this about the case, because, of course, we have a lot of information going both ways that your case is dismissed. You didn't win. You did win.
My case is over there in Utah right now is $150 million against the lawyers for malpractice and fraud. I've already proven in that federal court that I wrote the matrix in the Terminator. The judge ruled on that evidence August 11, 2009.
Oh, so August 11, 2009,
That's right. They tried to get it dismissed and stricken from the court system, and she ruled that it stood against them. And that means that they lost. They lost also by a default judgment. They went past 2 months when they were supposed to have answered, and she saw that they were not going to answer, so she court-ordered them to answer and then turned around and said to me in the writing that if they had not answered, she would have given me the default judgment right then and there. But how can you do that if you made them under the threat of going to jail? That's called interference.
Right. Now
they lost.
Now, I wanted to say this. I got to make this statement because it seems to me that, you know, of course, the Wachowski brothers were hailed as geniuses, whatnot. And, of course, most people felt that the first Matrix movie was brilliant, but 2 and 3 were, for lack of a better word, not up to snuff. They were the ones who wrote it, actually. And then, I mean, before that, they are known for what they had done. I think Sylvester Stallone's terrible movie, The Assassins, and some other movie called Bound.
A lesbian flick called Bound. That they were supposed to have co-written with somebody. Now, you guys got good common sense. If the Wachowskis were genius and they wrote The Matrix, they wouldn't be sitting there gathering dust for 7 years. The last one was 2003. And they wouldn't be going out and buying other writers' work. V for Vendetta is Alan Moore's work. Speed Racer is the Japanese writer's work that came out in the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
Come on, give me a break.
Right.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist. If you were a genius and you wrote The Matrix, is Star Wars gathering dust or is Lucas still making billions?
Right. Well,
is he going out and buying other people's work?
No. Well,
and claims to be a genius, but are nowhere on TV talking about The Matrix? And come on, would you divide your house? Would you make one concept, this is just the beginning, and then over in the other two movies said every beginning has an end?
Well, that's the thing.
And try to change it and make it your own?
Well, I was going to say, Ms. Stewart, that one, those movies that you named that they bought, those were actually terrible movies. I mean, V for Vendetta,
yes, it was horrible. Alan Moore didn't even want his name by his own work. Well, regardless of what they did to it, nobody has creative control in Hollywood. Whether you buy it or you steal it, the studios are going to do whatever they want with it. That's why right now a lot of great books are not on the movie screen because of this one reason. No one has creative control in Hollywood. Once a person buys your book, they do whatever they want, and they rename it whatever they want. So that's why I told people, whether it was bought or stolen, it still would have been Matrix and Terminator, the Third Eye book.
Right. So now, you know, you won. Now, what is the status of the case going forward?
Well, you heard that Eric Hovind has a special fraud task force, right? And this task force is out getting mortgage fraud, corporate fraud, Wall Street fraud, every kind of fraud, even movie fraud. I want these people, some of them, to go to jail, just like in the National Treasury. Somebody should go to jail. Why does somebody need to go to jail? Because, look, everybody in every area have gone to jail in history, except for Hollywood. And Hollywood has been milking the cow. She's been stealing from the common people. No one is going to ever see their dream on the screen and it bought. I mean, bought, not stolen. Because if you see it on the screen and it's not bought, it's a nightmare. And anybody who's experienced that out there know what I'm talking about. Now, we need to make Hollywood accountable. They go out and they'll send a woman to jail for 3 years for jail for downloading. They'll send the common person to jail in a New York minute. Now, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Exactly.
Come on, people. If they can send you to jail and your family and 16-year-old kids, then they can go to jail for stealing our copyrights. They're federally protected. We have a right to due process of the law, the same as them. If the corporation steals, then they need to pay just like everyone else.
Right. So when did you copyright the Third Eye?
81, 83, and 84.
Oh.
And that comes before James Cameron, 84, and it comes before the Wachowskis, 1994.
Mm.
So I got there first.
Right. Well, of course you got there first. You wrote it.
Well, not only because I wrote it, but my protection was supposed to be there also, is what I'm speaking of. Because I'm telling people, it's very important that we should get those copyrights, because that poor man's copyright is not going to do anything. The FBI will not come out and investigate a poor man's copyright. But if you buy the federal copyright, they will go out and investigate and do their due diligence. Now, what we need to make them do is to do their job and make them prosecute corporations for stealing. They steal from lawyers. They steal from FBI agents. They steal from Congress people, politicians. They steal from their own actors. A lot of people don't want to buck them because it's biting the hands that feed them. But forget about that, because you're not going to be sad anyway if somebody continues to steal. That's the beginning of the collapse of our civilization, is to let evil flourish. That's why Rome collapsed. That's why Babylon collapsed. That's why all the great civilizations in history collapsed, is because evil got so rampant that it had to be put to an end. And this is what's going on in America with the mortgage fraud, Wall Street, Bernie Madoff fraud, or corporate fraud. We need to stop all of this fraud. We're not going to have a civilization or nor a future if you don't take some kind of stand. And just like Michael said, Michael Jackson is saying, it begins with the man and the mirror. If everybody get up and take a stand and say, we're not going to take this mess, then we can make changes. Changes begin at home.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I'm talking about right there. We definitely need some cleanup, you know, on all the crime, white collar crime that's going on. I think a lot of times we focus a lot on quote unquote blue collar crime, but this white collar crime is what's breaking this country.
And that is correct. That is the most important thing that you said all night. It is the white-collar crime that's really breaking this country. And they need to take their focus off the blue-collar crime, because those people cannot do any kind of damage the way the corporations can do. Bank and mortgage fraud, putting people out of their homes, and everybody in America, and losing jobs because of theft. And like I had told people years ago, that rich people steal because they're greedy, not because they're needy. Now, blue-collar crime is a need. But there's no need when the wealthy steal. That is a shame. That's a worse crime than stealing from need.
Okay. Now, I want to change focus here a little bit. I read something that you said that you had the power to separate from your body, and that we actually all had that ability, and we forgot.
It begins in ancient Egypt during the mystery schools of Isis. There are human beings, because if you look in Genesis backwards is genes. It's almost like everything in our world is reversed. It's like polarity that's going on, but not duality. You've been taught there's two things going on, when in actual reality there's only one thing going on, and there can only be one. And when you reverse something, that's polarity, like good and bad, or God and dog, you know what I'm saying, or live and evil. They're all the same word, but live, L-I-V-E, but when you reverse it, it's E-V-I-L, God. When it's going in positive direction, it's God. But when it's going in a negative direction, it's dog. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is what's been going on. Like Neo is N-E-O, it's an anagram, and backwards is one, O-N-E. And the other way is N-E-O. Do you see? If you would take a mirror and you look at the words, you can start to see how everything, in a way, has meaning, but it's been a reverse word to hide something, or like an anagram or a symbol.
Okay.
But you guys never thought about this.
I've been there a couple of times, but I'm a little different, so I can understand.
Yeah, so you know what I'm looking about then. And what I'm saying is that in my book, that I got a section at the back of the book of my current work, or When the Gods Walk the Earth, and Soulless, S-O-U-L, hyphen L-E-S-S, Born Without a Soul. I'm talking about how the machines were born, the neophytes, and I'm talking about the prequel, When the Gods Walk the Earth, that the gods were the ascending masters that came. They never died. They never experienced death. Like when you read in the Bible, the Christ story is teaching you about ascending into your 4D body, where he's taken up or he's ascended, meaning that he is transformed into his light body. If you remember that Christ went into the cave for 3 days, and when he came out, he was in his light body. His disciples recognized his soul through his eyes, but they knew his body had transformed. And to give you an example, it's like the worm crawling upon the earth, and it goes into the cocoon, and then he comes out this beautiful butterfly. He's in his 4D body, and he's flying.
Well, you know, speaking on that now, a lot there's some people out there who believe that that's what the one they call Jesus did, that he did go to the mystery schools and he did learn all that. That's why all that time there's no documentation of him as a teenager, whatnot, and then he came back into the world as a grown man. And that was
my yes, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that, the account about that.
Now, I was wondering, was that, because I know you was, like you said, you was talking about the power to separate whatnot, and that was a mystery.
Well, when you see in the Matrix, their bodies are on the ship, and they're fighting with the Kai, the virtual reality body. Well, when I saw Star Wars, George Lucas had the little hologram. Well, the hologram come from Thomas Edison. I don't know if you guys know that, but it has to do with the camera or when you're taking a picture. So I know from my DNA about the mystery schools of ancient Egypt and how the Kai, you know, the word K-A,
right,
how we can split into three. We can, with the physical body, which belongs to the earth, the Kai, which is the spiritual body, that can also materialize like a physical body, and you could be seen at two places at the same time. And then the third body, which is the soul, which is the energy or the essence of God that goes back to the source.
Right.
Those are the three bodies. When you hear about the out-of-body experience, that's when they're separating and they're in their Kai, and they float above their bodies and they see their actual bodies, and then they see the doctor operating on them or whatever. And the doctor says they've died on the operating table for 3 minutes, and they came back, and then they tell the doctor of this experience. Well, that's the separation. And if you look at the matrix, you see that. Now, that comes from ancient Egypt out of our soul and out of our DNA. The Wachowski brothers, who don't believe in Christ, does not know anything about that. Or where Agent Smith multiplies and divides and he becomes the same man. And each time he becomes the same man, he becomes more and more powerful to the 10th power when he's fighting Neo.
Right.
Or when you see Neo jumping into his body and making him explode. And that's polarity, because when you walk through Neo's body, it's healing, like when Trinity died and she's healed. You see what I'm saying? Because that's polarity. To walk through his body is to be healed. To jump into Agent Smith, Anderson's body is to make it explode. Just like you bring in matter into antimatter.
Right. They can't exist in the same place.
They cannot exist in the same space.
Now, I know you touched on your new book there. Tell us what you got going forward.
I'm going to be doing Matrix 4 coming up next year. All I have to do is just clear up my legal work, and then I can go forward and move forward and finish this first. Because everybody needs to want to see Matrix 4. And I think it'll be phenomenal. Janet Jackson, she called me. She wants to be in it. 50 Cent called because he wanted to be one of the executive producers. And another producer who had worked on Matrix 2 and 3, she called Camille. And she wants to work with me, among others.
So I think
it would be phenomenal for Matrix 4 to come out next year. Well, it won't come out next year because we probably will need at least a year and a half on it or two.
I just want to be one of the people that run in the street.
He wants to be background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can believe it. You should hear how many people have asked to be in that movie. I've already written it, and some of the producers have asked to look at the script, but I told them, oh, no. No way.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I can see why.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I got special effects and graphics that have never, ever been seen on the screen. And that's what's going to be so amazing.
Well,
and it's called Matrix 4, Cracking the Genetic Code, the Evolution of Consciousness. You know, the evolution.
Okay. Now, I know you was talking about special effects and whatnot, and I think next week that, coincidentally, James Cameron movie, Avatar, is coming out. And I don't know if you know about how much that movie cost to make. I was talking about it cost them over $300 million to make that movie.
Well, it's not gonna make any of that money back. I can guarantee you that. And I'm going to tell you why. Avatar means ascending master, and that's what they call the avatars that would come to the back to the earth to help build civilizations. And when you place your consciousness into a body, that's called possession.
Yes.
That's right. That's how people are possessed.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot project your consciousness into a body, because that's stealing a body, and that's what possession is about. And if you remember and think about it, you'll know I'm 100% right. If you look at any of the old movies, the possession, that's what happened. They look for a host. It's an evil spirit that looks for a host, and it takes on that form. Now, the story that James Cameron got is a racist story. It's talking about everybody that was ever taken off of their property, coming and removing them for oil, like they took the Indians and displaced them, just like they took the Africans and displaced them from the rubber plantations and the diamond mines, just like they displaced us. It's a racist story to come in and remove an indigenous person or people or and just to get something that costs trillions of dollars. This is what's been going on in history. And don't tell me, you can't mix the old with the new. He got new special effects and graphics, but it's an old story. And in the Bible, God says, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. It'll burst the bag. You have to put new wine with new wineskins.
Right, because I saw the story, and I'm like, well, this is just apocalyptic.
It's the old John and Pocahontas story.
Right.
That's all it is. And talk about indigenous people, whether they've been on like an oil or gold or diamond, and they want to kill them off to get that precious metal or precious land or rubber plantation or a diamond mine or oil, like in Oklahoma when they killed all the Indians and ran them off from those places because of the oil.
Yeah.
It's the same old story. When everybody goes there of color, they're going to recognize their story. And they're not going to go back. They're going to go to look at the special effects, but the story is insulting.
Well, now, you know, speaking of that, I mean, because when I saw Avatar, I first saw the previews and whatnot, it actually brought me back to a book that I think only got printed like 6 in the whole world, a book by a guy named David McRitchie. And it was talking about the ancient and black Britons, because in his book, he alleges that the blue people, Merlin and all those, were actually black people, because he says the word dub in that part of the country meant black, i.e. Dublin and in Ireland they have the towers that are geometrically connected with the pyramid. If you see,
and you can really see that, because the lady that he's falling for, the white guy, she got the dreads like Predator.
Right.
You could tell she's black, and they use an actual black actress to portray her.
Well, I mean, but that was my point. Because it was in his book, and I want to say this, you know, I'm in racial rehab here, but David McRitchie is a white author, and he wrote this book in the early 20th century, and he was alleging that the blue people, Merlin and all those people, were black people. And so when I saw the Avatar, I immediately went there, you know, because I'm like, did he take from that story? Because it seems
he's borrowed from like several different stories, and I could tell that, me being a writer, just from looking at the previews, I mean, it's like, oh my God, he is so racist, and he thinks it's so superior to be racist. Because who would put a story like that on the screen, even if it had the greatest special effects in the world? The meaning behind the story is what makes it wonderful or not wonderful,
right.
What makes people relate to it or not relate to it.
Yeah, I was kind of curious, because when I saw it, I was like, okay, is it something different? And then it says, oh, we're going to another planet, and the people there, we want to take over what they have. And I'm like, that's it? 300?
That's something million. That's what
for
they're
that?
Saying.
For that?
Yeah, well, that's what the story is about, taking what somebody else has. And it's not even about taking it peacefully, but killing them off or running them off to get it. What's happening in the world?
Yeah.
They're stealing and taking and harming for something that they want.
I don't want to be stuck on this. I got to ask you, where can we catch up with you, Sophia Stewart? If we want to hear about the third eye and we want to keep up with you, find out about updates on Matrix 4 and whatnot.
Well, I have some websites, matrixthirdeye.tv, and I'm on MySpace, fan, Facebook, Amazon, Tweeters, and I have email addresses. And I'm coming out with my book again because I sold out twice on Amazon. I'll be in the stores pretty soon, Barnes & Noble, and print on demand and ebook is coming out. And I'm working on it as fast as I can. I have to sign some contracts, and that's what the holdup has been. But I'm gonna get it out there, and people are gonna know because I'll make sure it gets out on YouTube or MySpace and Facebook and Sandbox and Tweeters and everywhere. So everyone, and then I'm still doing tons of interviews.
Okay.
So everybody will know what I'm doing.
Well, I wanted to ask that because, you know, I personally would like to take a peek at your book. You know, one, for the curiosity to see how much they stole word from you, and also because I'm interested in the story. And as you were saying, you had a couple of other books that you were coming out with, and I was wondering what's the timetable on that.
Yeah, well, right now I got another book out that Howie Zulu wrote partially with me. I wrote with her because it's really technically her book that I wrote with her. And so that book is out still too, but she's in Africa. So her book is selling overseas. Mine has sold, you know, in America and across too, you know, like to Germany and New Zealand, Australia, Afghanistan, and so forth. So, but I'm going to get that news out for people to know just as soon. Because once I do print on demand, it only will take you about 2 to 3 days to get the book, or 2 to 5 days.
Yeah, we definitely.
Once I put the news out.
Yeah, let us know when that's coming. Because, you know, I definitely want to check you out, see what you're coming with.
You're going to love it. Right now, people who bought my book before, I mean, you can't find a used copy. And if you loan your book out, you're not going to get it back. I can tell you that much.
All right.
Even people that are hating on me won't give up their book.
Wow.
All right. Well, we definitely ain't hating on you here at Smooth Drama. We embracing you totally.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming on the show and blessing us with your presence.
I appreciate that very much. And I thank you guys for having me. And then I'll have Ed Small will be calling you guys. He's a colleague of mine. He'll be calling you guys and telling you people where they can buy CDs. And if they want to get that 1 minute and 45 seconds when they get their book, they're going to be just shocked. But it's a piece of history, memorabilia.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
Oh,
and I'll have Ed to give you guys a call.
Hey, well, we support you 500% here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I got some big support from the Rolling Stone magazine also. So I love that.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-oh.
Well, you stay strong.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I will.
Good fight.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Okay.
All right. Sophia Stewart, representing.
Wow.
Letting you know.
I learned a lot.
Yeah. Especially, don't trust Hollywood.
Exactly. Look for it. And on that note, we want to thank everybody for tuning in, especially thank Sophia Stewart for blessing us with their presence. Until next week, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, send us your topics. Join our network at smoothdrama.ning.com or join it at our website, smoothdrama.com.
And just scroll down and you can just click on the link.
Click
right
join.
There.
And if you want to learn more about Sophia Stewart, go to the featured guest page, click on her photo, and you can read more about what she's doing. On that note, we want to wish everyone a good night and see you on Tuesday.
You have a great
night.
Weekend.
And
I'm
be safe.
I'm Dick Tucker.
And butter pecan.
We out.
Good night.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.